Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to this. It is the world famous MWDP, the Midweek Domestic Podcast, the greatest podcast of all podcasts ever released ever in the history of podcasts. Because it is the Premiership and we all love the Premiership. Don't we, Phil, who is here in studio with me today?
Yes! Premiership.
Yes, Premiership. And Tim, down the line, are you excited about the Premiership?
So excited. I've just made a mess in my pants.
Oh, yes. There we go. Well, first of all, let's start with this. Let's start with this, where you can find us. Go and find us on Patreon. Go and find us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. I should know that. I'm at Jay Beardmore. Tim's at Cocker, if he's ever on there anymore. And you can also find us on Facebook and a few other places. And also, of course, subscribe and download. That is the most important thing, isn't it? Subscribe and download. So, let's start with the real club rugby this week.
Tok H
go away to Fleetwood, and I think we won by about more than 40 points, I would say.
Stop counting after 40.
Something like that. But most importantly, we got a big nil. I think it's our first nil of the season.
Nice.
Which is, you know, the big zero is a big deal, basically.
Yeah, that is very good.
Yeah.
Did you have a good day all round?
Yes, we got the bus to Blackpool.
Nice.
So we had a few hours in Blackpool. What a place.
So you got a few hours in Blackpool after the game.
Yes.
You didn't have a night in Blackpool.
I would have loved to have a night in Blackpool, Neil. I was having an absolute great time there.
Is Syndicate still open?
Got no idea. No idea. We were told by the Fleetwood lads, we asked them, where are the best bars to go in Blackpool? And the answer was, best? I went, no. Give us the worst. Give us the absolute worst.
The roughest.
Yeah, and then the suggestions came in, just flying in. So we went to Mark Kelly's, we went to somewhere else. We went to this one place, and it's a big sign on the door saying cash only bar. And here's the kicker. They've got their own cash point inside, which charges you £2 for your own money. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Nice.
What great business acumen. And they had sawdust on the floor. Actual sawdust.
Sawdust.
Yeah. Why do they do that to soak up the drink? I guess.
Yeah, I've been.
I guess it's like I like that. It's just planning ahead. It's like a serial killer. It's like Patrick Bateman in American Psycho before he murders that fellow with an axe. He covers the entire sofa in newspaper and plastic sheets and stuff. They just get the sawdust out. People can puke straight on it.
It's wonderful.
Very sensible.
Yeah, we had a grand old time. So, I had a rather late night last night. So my rugby viewing might not be as detailed as it normally is.
To answer my own question, Syndicate Blackpool, permanently closed.
No.
In 2011.
Damn.
Showing my age a little bit.
Where were you in Blackpool?
I went to Syndicate a few times. You know what it's like.
Tim, have you ever been to Blackpool?
I have. It is. You see some frightening sights on a night out.
Brilliant.
It is truly is. I mean, people watching is very entertaining.
Yes.
On a night in Blackpool.
What were you?
I've been
there
to a couple of gigs there. I've been to a couple of gigs at the Empress Ballrooms, and you get some really good bands and stuff going there. But just the kitsch value. My favourite thing about Blackpool, especially on a hangover the morning after, just for a laugh. Is going to the, I can't remember what they call it. It might be like Louis Two Swords or something.
But the waxworks.
It's a Madame Two Swords style waxworks, but all of the waxworks there are deliberately awful.
Oh, is that right?
It's very funny. I mean, I think you can look up like Louis Two Swords on Google, and just it's it is hilarious. It's like the world's worst taxidermist.
Oh, that's amazing.
Doing an awful job.
Like the Ronaldo bust.
Yeah. Exactly.
Madeira Airport.
Yeah, that bust is absolutely incredible.
Now you're getting the idea. So yeah, I've had a few nights out in Blackpool.
Yeah, last time I was in Blackpool, I was with my dad, and we went to the UK's biggest pigeon show.
Nice.
Yeah, and 20 odd years ago.
Was it the Winter Gardens?
Yeah, it was with Winter Gardens.
Winter Gardens is genuinely an impressive place.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to know,
is there a second biggest pigeon show in the UK?
Oh, I think there's one in the NEC. I think the NEC will do one. There are some big pigeon shows out there, Tim. It's not quite the sport it once was. Pigeon racing isn't quite the sport it once was. I tell you who's into pigeon racing.
The
Neville Southall.
Neville Southall is one.
Yeah.
Duncan Ferguson would be another.
Two toffees.
Yeah, Don Armand's dad is into pigeon racing.
Really?
Yeah, he was a farmer, and now he works in, I think, these big industrial lofts, and they're there just to try and win a million pound prize from pigeon racing.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what they're gearing up for. It's quite a big, well, not big business, but it is.
£1 million is a...
Yeah.
It's big, a fairly big business.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. When Exeter retire their mascot Tom O'Hawk,
one day,
which makes me laugh every time I say it, then maybe Don Armand, when he retires, could be a mascot in a pigeon outfit.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly.
In fact, actually, that reminds me, a couple of bits of correspondence, and just on the subject from last week's podcast about streakers, we got contacted. I got a message, or where is it? Alex Cowley sent us a video, a grainy YouTube video of, and he didn't say who it was, but he said, this is a video of the Newcastle University mascot absolutely nailing a couple of Northumbria University streakers in the big Newcastle v Northumbria match. In 2009, the person who was in the mascot outfit is a current Premiership and international player.
Wow.
Awesome.
So who would be in...
2009. Newcastle University.
Yeah. Unless they
graduated in 2010, they'll be about 30 now.
Yeah.
So they'll be like late 20s, early 30s.
I mean, there are some absolute nightmares you wouldn't want to run. Like Carl Ferns in a mascot outfit would be a disaster for a streaker. Thekatoa in a mascot outfit would be... Yeah. Instant death.
Big court.
Yeah. Why is that mascot 7 foot?
Oh, there was
Did Chris Harris go to Newcastle Uni?
Probably. He played for Tynedale.
Maybe. For a bit. Chris Harris is a great shot. And he can hit.
Yeah.
That's the other thing as well.
Yeah. I bet he did.
Chris Harris is a great shot.
Yeah.
Do we know who it is?
No, we don't. So any information on the... Well, obviously Alex knows it and didn't tell us, which has
Thanks,
given
Alex.
Me a...
Cheers,
so, let us in on the answer, Alex. Who was it? Or if anyone knows, please do let us know. And we got another email here to contactegchasers@gmail.com from Ollie, friend of the pod, Ollie, who emailed and said, on the subject of streakers, the worst thing he ever saw was on a 2001 Lions tour, a game at the SFS where O'Gara got done over by Duncan McRae. A streaker ran on in his pants. Ollie says, given there was a crowd of 40,000, he wasted over 600 man hours. That's good maths, that. He says, the very least you can do in that situation is get your tackle out. A shy man has no business in streaking.
That's a very good point, isn't it?
If you're brave enough to get on the pitch, surely you should be brave enough and have the common decency to show everyone your willy.
Hear. Wise words.
And just while I'm on correspondence, can I just wrap up one final bit of admin? We got contacted by someone who isn't revealing their name because they're a current military operator and they prefer to be known as Lieutenant G of the Royal Navy.
Ooh. Oh, I know Lieutenant G.
Yeah. Currently in Las Vegas, stationed there. And just wanted to let anyone that might be potentially in the area know of an event and just generally advertise it, because I'm sure they're doing online donations as well. But the Vegas Veterans Rugby, there's a match on November the 13th, that's Saturday, a combined team of Vegas-based veterans and serving military personnel playing the Las Vegas Fire Department in a charity match, raising money for US and UK military-based charities. It's 20 years as well this year since 9/11, as well as Remembrance and Veterans Day. And the team comprises Brits and Americans from all ranks and backgrounds and experience. And Lieutenant G says coaching them has been a privilege and top crack. So it's this Saturday at Madeira Canyon Park in Henderson, Las Vegas. Any forces or ex-forces interested in playing can just turn up with their boots. Anyone else can turn up for a day of rugby and a couple of beers. And he says, lastly, can I get a mention for Army Captain D?
Hang on.
They'll know who they are.
This is ridiculous, Tim. It's getting absolutely ridiculous, this. Lieutenant G, who doesn't want to be identified, who is the coach of a veterans team in Las Vegas and a lieutenant.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be fairly easy to identify if anyone really wants to.
I don't know
to.
What the Russians will do with this information.
Lastly, can I get a mention for Army Captain D, who is currently in a very unpleasant, hot and dusty part of the world. He managed to get the premiership in his ops room at the weekends, much to the adulation of his US colleagues, who absolutely adore the game.
Oh,
so
awesome.
He's spreading the game of rugby while serving. Despite his austere surroundings, he somehow resourcefully acquires your pod and will really appreciate the hello. So there you go. And we're welcome at for a wet, to be bought a wet, which is Navy for a pint, either in Vegas at a Navy game or at a Chiefs match next year.
Lovely stuff.
I'd love to do that Vegas Vets weekend.
Well.
That'd be awesome.
So just on that, when I went to play the Sandy Park game, obviously it was a privilege to step on the field with Hoggy and...
Noli.
Jack Noll, right?
And Steno.
Steno played, all those. But the guys I enjoyed meeting the most were the two Army lads. So... Chris and Daryl. Daryl is actually the captain of the army. He plays second row, but got great hands.
What's his surname?
Really interesting blokes.
What's his surname?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I know he's a warrant officer.
So you played with the captain of the army and the captain of the marines over the summer?
Yeah, pretty much.
Fair play.
Was it Daryl Ball? Did he have brown hair?
Say again.
Did he have brown hair? Was he called Daryl Ball?
Yes, that's him. Top boy.
I played with him at Newbury.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an absolutely fascinating guy. Him and my roommate who describes himself as the Prince of Devon. Interesting.
Well, let's start in Devon because we saw the longest journey that Newcastle Falcons have to make in their season and a third home defeat for Exeter in four games this season.
I'm being candid, it should have been more. They were lucky not to get absolutely smashed by Newcastle. If Newcastle got their starter plays right, I think they could have really put Exeter to the sword big time.
And what do Exeter do now?
I wonder if they've run out of ideas.
So, I'm kind of two minds. Obviously, we spoke about all the players that they've lost for various reasons, a combination of injury and international call-ups. But they are nowhere near the team that they were a little while ago. But I do wonder if that's not the biggest element, and JB, I mentioned this to you before the pod, there is something about the way that Exeter Chiefs play in that their whole thing is about physically dominating their opposition.
Yeah.
And if they physically dominate their opposition up front, then it creates space for them out wide and they'll happily use that space. They've got talented players to use that space, but that only becomes available if they physically dominate their opposition up front. Exeter Chiefs, they did it when they won both Premiership and Europe. They were unbelievable week after week after week, going through the meat grinder. Their players putting their bodies through the meat grinder week after week after week, and they got incredible success. They have to do that every... They put themselves in a position where they have to do that every single week. Whereas their opposition, they only need to get up for the physicality of Exeter twice per season in the Premier.
Once in the playoffs.
Yeah, once if it matters in the playoff. And I do wonder if they do need a bit more. Now, I think both of those things and also the fact that the latch has been changed, all of those are having an impact. I fully expect Baxter to find a way out of it, but I think it'll take time.
I think he can find a way out of it. I think he can find a way out of it with time, as you point out, because, and I've said this before, but the perverseness of the situation is that they've changed the laws and they didn't give them any heads up of what the laws are going to be. So if you could remake his squad to, because you've got to remake a style of play. You've got a salary cap, you've got a squad, you build your squad to meet your style of play, and then to change the laws overnight or to put a new emphasis or a new directive in which can kneecap you is just outrageous. It's meant to be a professional game. They should give them like at least a year's notice, if not 2 years' notice, that the laws are getting changed.
Yeah, well played, Newcastle. Yeah, because that is, it's a hell of a result.
Yeah, Newcastle have won, I think, 4 out of 7 now. They are a serious outfit. And this just goes to show, I mean, yes, Exeter have lost 3 home games now, as Tim pointed out. They're still fourth.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the end of the world. The Premiership is so close because everyone can beat everyone else, including Worcester.
Well, yeah, if you just go purely off wins, Exeter Chiefs are in fourth with 4 wins. Bristol are in 11th with 3 wins. So there are the fine margins.
Yeah.
Between 4th and 11th.
Yeah. And I think Newcastle, I don't know, 4 wins from 7 is great. I think their penalty count is a bit high. That's personally, I think they're not quite as disciplined as they could be. But I also think there could be an element of kidding themselves here, because they're kind of in the mix with, as you pointed out there, pretty much everyone. I mean, we don't know if
almost everyone.
Yeah,
maybe not 2 teams at the moment.
Yeah, the team at the top and the team at the bottom are probably the outliers.
Yeah, and Worcester, albeit they had a great result last week.
Yeah, well, they've won 2 games.
Mm. Yeah. Well, they've won more games than London Irish.
Yeah, you tell the Worcester fans last year, first 7 games you win 2. You interested? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
The Newcastle story is particularly impressive because they are not spending anywhere near as much as other sides of the Premiership. No way.
They have the recipe for winning, though, don't they?
Mm.
Dean Richards.
But it makes it all the more impressive. It makes it all the more impressive. What I also like, and I actually agree with what Phil said about changing the way they play, and with you, JB, that Rob Baxter is the man that will make those adjustments and changes. Might take time, but I do love with Rob Baxter every time he speaks, and there was no hiding. He was totally honest, and he said we're in danger of our season petering out. And he when he was asked about the players that they're missing, he said no. That's an opportunity for the guys that come in to step in. And I just contrast that with, and I think he would have been perfectly within his rights to say, yeah, we're missing a load of players and it's hurting us, which is exactly what Chris Boyd did say. I'm not criticising Chris Boyd for saying it, but I also love that Rob Baxter just says, no, the guys that come in have got to step up and do the job.
And he's absolutely right. Mm. You know, like, this is when you need your squad to win games. He's absolutely right.
And there's nothing better as an incentive for the guy who's second choice or third choice that, they're playing for their next contract. They're playing for the place in that squad for that first team.
Yeah, and just on Newcastle, it's not like they had everyone available either.
Yeah.
Redwan's missing, Chick's missing.
Blamire.
Yeah, Blamire.
Chick came off the bench, didn't he? But Blamire and Davidson, both in the squad and widest travelling reserve.
Yeah, so yeah, everyone's missing players. Tiny Ian Whitten came on for Exeter.
Little Ian.
So, it's annoying. It ruined my predictions this week. I had Exeter to win. I'm pretty angry about that.
Surely Saracens ruined your predictions. But
no,
before we get
no,
on to
I
that,
have an Irish to win.
Phil,
but it was
oh,
a
yeah,
draw.
But that equally, that ruined your...
Yeah, that did ruin my predictions. And I can accept, you know, that was a bit of a, you know... That, yeah... London Irish. What goes on at London Irish?
Oh, I know. But before we move on, Phil, I'm concerned about you. I know you've got an early start. Is there any other business from your point of view, or anything that you, any points you want to make, or observations and stuff? And then you should just do one, mate.
Yeah.
See, I do have a train in 5.5 hours to catch down to London. But points I want to make. I'll just mention a couple of things. Quinn's amazing comeback in the kind of, so they were 16-0 down, could have been 23-0 down if it wasn't a forward pass. But came back showing the kind of form that, well, got them out of a 28-0 deficit against Bristol in the semi-final and won the championship. That was really impressive from Quinn's. Tiger's hammer in Bath was
awesome.
More predictable, awesome. More predictable, very impressive. But London Irish being 34-8 down with 18 minutes on the clock to come back to draw, that is, and they had Adam Coleman sent off after 20 odd minutes.
I know.
They played 60 minutes with a man down and came over a 26 point deficit in less than 18 minutes against Saracens.
You laughed at me when I said they would make the top four. I laughed at me
a couple of weeks after.
Yeah. Nick Mullins laughed at me. Right, so, but you know, one or two of these draws go their way, and they're right up there. They're Exeter away.
Yeah,
like this, I think they're going to get it together sooner rather than later.
It is remarkable. Now, they do it late every time, which it suggests either other teams switch off because they're so far ahead, which I think Saracens were definitely guilty of. Like when Mako crashes over and he signals to the subs bench to pull him off to change him.
Yeah.
He did the little rolling sub thing to change him.
I'm done.
Because, I've done enough. And that seemed to be the Saracens' attitude. But the other side of it is the London Irish fitness. They are coming back and they looked amazing in that last 15, 18
minutes. Yeah, I don't really think it was a hard work
minutes.
Fitness team. But when they beat Exeter, some of the tackle statistics were immense.
Yeah.
Absolutely immense. Their defence has to get better. It can't get much worse.
Yeah.
So it has to get better. They can already score tries. The Ben Darwin view on this sort of thing would be attack takes care of itself and the defence will tighten up.
Cohesion.
So, although I'd say it's the other way around.
Bill, go. For goodness sake, go and get some sleep.
Okay. Right, I'm off. Cheers, guys.
See you, Phil.
Bye.
Nice one, Phil.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's UnitedHealthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, UnitedHealthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about UnitedHealthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Just as Phil is departing the dungeon, I think, just let's reiterate that Phil's got a train in 5.5 hours.
All right, he's not a hero.
No. I'm just pointing out that's the level of commitment we have to making sure you have podcasts.
He's not
in
storming
that feed
a beach
every single Monday. Well, yeah, you make a fair point. But we all
he is storming a beach. He is.
We do truly care that you get these podcasts every single Monday, 52 weeks a year. And if you appreciate it and you're in a position to keep the lights on and help JB get some equipment that actually works.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Then, headphones.
Well, yeah, exactly. Then patreon.com/eggchasers. And thank you very much to all the people that have supported us on Patreon. We got our first double patron. I love this. Hold on. I'll find the name. Tim Jacquier, or I hope I get that name right. Anyway, Tim is in Melbourne, a Saracens fan, and he's our first double patron, mainly because he signed up, lost the login, and just thought, oh, I'll just sign up again. I like the podcast.
There we go. Yeah, so if you fancy losing your login or just becoming a double patron yourself. In fact, we'll run a competition to see who becomes our first triple patron.
Well, we'll have... in fact, right, now Phil's gone and he's the one that does the shirt giveaway. We will 100% do a shirt giveaway from one of our patrons and announce the winner on the next podcast. Tim, a Saracens fan, must be pulling his hair out after that result. It's a warning for Saracens.
It is, isn't it? I mean, look, they're doing fine. Then they will be fine. They're a great team. I just think London Irish are going to attack at will. They're just good. They're just much, much better when they don't listen to their coaches and just play off the cuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun supporting London Irish, that's for sure. You might be incredibly frustrated one week and then deliriously happy the next, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think they will make the top six now. I'm not sure they're going to make top four, but I definitely think they're going to be top six because they are bloody good when they want to be.
They are very, very good. Mm. Very good indeed. Phil just touched on it there. Quinn's were impressive in that second half. I like Quinn's a lot, but I have such a soft spot for Wasps because I really like the cut of their jib and the way that they go out and squeeze every ounce of player they can out of the small amount of money that they spend, similar to Newcastle. And I was a bit disappointed the way they let it slip in that second half.
I'm very fond of Wasps. I think that their rugby department does a phenomenal job. I say rugby department. In fact, the whole club does a phenomenal job. I talk about them all the time, where they get the players from, all the things that you say about them, Tim, I basically agree. And then there's the style of play as well. Although to give up 26 points is heartbreaking.
Yeah, I do feel, yeah, it is. And let's say the best team over 80 minutes won, and that's fine. But what did you think about the try that was disallowed, which, again, in itself, the Josh Bassett try would have been an incredible try?
Is this the one with the forward pass?
Yes.
Before half-time? I see why it's given. I also think it's absolutely devastating to the Wasps' effort because that is then a completely different game. There again, well, Harlequins do, you know.
Well, here on that one, and it was a little bit, this happened in the France-Argentina game as well, when tries are chalked off when it's not conclusive. And I put this one down as something which was not conclusive. The referee Wayne Barnes gave the try on the field. The TMO was the one that made the decision, and he told Wayne Barnes it was a forward pass. Now, to me, I didn't think it was, or I thought it was marginal. He said it's because Jacob Umanga was in front of the... Porter, was it, who passed him the ball?
Yeah.
And Umanga might have been flat or slightly in front. The angle of the camera meant that it was hard to tell because it was that the lines of the pitch were sort of diagonal. But Umanga catches the ball behind him. So even if he was stood level or slightly in front, that's why you look at the direction of the hands. And I felt really, really cheesed off that try was chalked off because I just think when a try is given on the field, it has to be conclusive overturn it.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It should benefit of the doubt always goes to the attacker.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Frustrating. Do you know what's not frustrating, though?
What's that?
Do you know what's the thing of beauty? One of the most impressive things I've seen in club rugby for maybe the last five years.
You're talking about a rolling mall of some description, Jay?
I'm talking about Leicester Tigers, mate. The Leicester Tigers are the real deal at this point, aren't they? Their driving more work is absolutely superb. It is superb. Like, you watch that line out, it is so well drilled. Everyone's in motion. They're keeping the defence guessing. They don't always hit the line out, but when they do, they bring it down. They drive the ball. They get the penalty. They can change attacking pictures for their own back line. That is what is allowing George Ford to be the genius that he currently is. This team are awesome. Now, like all teams, I think they'll have some fragility going forward, particularly when they lose some players to internationals and whatnot. But I just love how they're coached. Love it.
It's pretty ominous, isn't it? 8 from 8 now.
Yeah.
And you've got unbelievable odds on Leicester being where they are and Bath being where they are.
Yeah, you really would. You really would. And, you know, Bath didn't even do too badly. They scored 23 points. You know, and I looked at the Bath team. I was trying to pick which team I thought would win this. I thought, okay, yeah. I think Leicester are slightly better off at the moment. But there's still a lot of great players like, you know, Dunn. I think Minnelli is pretty good. Reed, I've always liked. Cipriani was back. Cipriani, listed at 92 kilograms. I am telling you now that boy is not 92 kilograms. I am telling you right now he is much heavier than that.
Well, I don't know. He's like I'm a few inches taller than Sippers, and that's about my weight. I might even be slightly less than that.
Yeah, but you're not a professional rugby player.
Yeah, I suppose that's a fair point.
Yeah.
Yeah, those shirts aren't forgiving of anything, are they?
They're not. He just doesn't look in, peak condition. That would be my... I mean, and also, he doesn't need to be necessarily. He's a great runner of the ball.
And Andy Goode would be the first person to point out, particularly playing fly half.
Yeah,
in
it's
the
not the most important. It's not the most important attribute, is it? But it might tell you that his mind's elsewhere. I don't know. Who knows? But just disappointing. Mm. He did do a wonderful little no look pass though, or a look off pass, I should say, for I can't remember whose try it was. Whose try was it? Right at the start. Max Clark's try.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
What do you know? Have you heard anything on the Steve Diamond situation? Because the rugby paper as well are reporting that he was seen both at Worcester and at Bath having meetings.
Yeah, I think he thought it was going to be Bath, and now I'm pretty sure he's going to Worcester. That's what I'm. That's what I think. Right now, it's interesting because I was reading the rugby paper story, thinking, "Oh, okay, look at that. Steve Diamond is confirmed," and I thought actually. And I don't know if this has happened to you, Tim, but it's happened to me a couple of times now. I end up reading things which I've made up in the actual press, confirming the thing which I've made up, if that makes sense. I'm reading my own news. So I wasn't actually sure. Are they just copying what I said? In which case, there's no further information, or have they got fresh information? I've got no idea.
Well, you have got enough of a record that some brazen journo might hear what you say and... report it as their own news, thinking there's a fair chance it'll be true.
Fine. I just want to know if it's fresh information, so I know if Steve Diamond's going to be back in the Premiership, because that's all I want to know.
Yeah, and I'm sure whoever it was has impeccable sources. And I mean, if I were Steve Diamond, the news I would want the story out there that I'd been seen in both Worcester and Bath, just in case it was only one of them, and it would create a sense of urgency, create this supply and demand, JB.
Exactly. Well. Ollie Lawrence tweeted a few weeks ago, 2 weeks on Friday, when it was all first sort of broke that Steve Diamond was going to Worcester. Just an exploding head emoji. So I'm pretty sure it's been announced. In fact, I'm sure it's been announced. I know players that are talking about it. I know he wants to sign a few players, who they may be, because of what he wants to do. So it's something that's going on there, but nothing's been confirmed yet, which is rather strange.
I can't wait. I'd love it if Dimes is back in the Prem.
100%, mate. 100%. A rugby mind with rugby solutions. And Worcester will win a few more games for it.
As for Worcester, they sort of flipped back to other Worcester mode.
Yeah, and looking at the team sheets as well, I thought, okay, Worcester have got most of their players back. You know, they're looking fairly fit. I've seen what they've done to Sale. And, they were rubbish. No, absolutely rubbish again. And I don't know how... So this is the inconsistency that they've got. This is why they need to really tighten up. Because, again, not a terrible pack, not a terrible backline. They should be better than this.
And you mentioned Sale then. They've kind of hit reset, and with AJ McGinty back at the helm, looked a little bit more like Sale. Although the flip side to that is, and in terms of recruitment and stuff... and this is something you've been talking about for a long time, but it seems like the South African experiment is going to start to be dismantled. The South African backbone, which Steve Diamond, keeping that going, that he built, seems like it's going to be dismantled and done away with.
So there's
players gradually going to be moving off Faf de Klerk to Japan, being the latest rumour.
Yeah. Do you know, I mentioned this, and I was told very stiffly that... No, Faf is going nowhere.
because he's, well, I mean, it was literally just us speculating. And, you know, I've certainly not heard that Faf is going to go anywhere outside of the rugby paper rumour. In my mind, it does kind of make sense. I mean, if Rafi is the second coming, well, that's a great start. You know, Sale might not save any money per se by getting rid of him, because he might be a marquee player, for instance. So if that was the case, you know, even if you get rid of him, you can't replace him, and it makes no difference to your salary cap. So he might be one that would stay. He's also a phenomenal leader. So I think, you know, going forward, you want to keep the absolute best ones. So there is a few things going on here which makes me think that some of the South Africans will be leaving. First of all, was some quotes from Alex Sanderson a few weeks ago in a press conference, where he said he doesn't really want to talk about the situation of EQP, because EQP is going to tighten up in the next few years, meaning that Sale are going to have to make changes to their playing personnel. And Sanderson was saying it's a horrible conversation, but we're going to have it. Second of all, I think as of last summer, Sale changed their recruitment policy anyway, which is why you see Tommy Taylor coming in. I think they were very close to signing Jamal Ford-Robinson. I think they were very close to signing a few more English lads. So there's definitely more of a focus towards bringing on English lads. And then someone like JP Dupreeh will be off to
Edinburgh?
Glasgow, apparently. Glasgow, I think it is.
Glasgow, that's it, yeah.
So that'll be one out. Who they get in to replace him, I don't know.
Well, again, it's probably worth mentioning at this point that it is only, as it stands, a moratorium on relegation in the short term. We don't know what the plan is longer term, but it's quite a tough job. You mentioned Rob Baxter having to deal with law changes when it comes to recruitment, not kind of being able to sort of plan longer term. And I know actually a lot of head coaches don't think longer term, but some of them will be.
Some of them make their players sign two-year contracts, which I think is absolute lunacy, when every contract should be default 3 years. But that's what they do. Yeah, at least the EQP stuff is, you know, they've given you advanced warning so you can sort your squad out. It's not like they just changed it overnight.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But Sale are kind of back, and I just put it in perspective when Phil said then that 11th to 4th is only a one-win difference. I hope that continues for as much of the season as possible without the spectre of relegation. The league needs that big time.
Yeah, completely agree. Just on this game though, Northampton have got to be severely disappointed. I know Sale are very excited about this win because they believe when they've got all their boys back, they are a different animal. They think they're the best in the Premiership. They might be. I'm not sure they are. I think they might be. I reckon they're, what, top two or three? They can beat anyone on their day. I'm not sure they're a clear best, but they are very, very good when everyone is fit and firing.
Yeah. Northampton had five props on the bench.
Yeah, something's not clicking with Northampton. You know, they've got an approach to the game where they've made trade-offs. And when it works, it's beautiful to watch. But when it doesn't work, they get some absolute hidings, don't they? This Sale game and the Leicester game, I think they're going to have to relook at what they do up front. Simple as that.
When they have everyone, they're all right up front. I thought at least that they'd stem the issues at the scrum. And I know Chris Boyd only thinks of it as a restart, not a weapon, but I thought he'd stopped it being a liability, but...
Well, to be fair to Chris Boyd, his thoughts on the game are, in the Premiership, you need a world-class set-piece. And so I think Saints have a good set-piece, but it's not world-class. And I think he'd be the first one to admit that. I need some serious investment there, like serious investment. I think they need an extra second row, probably. Well, actually, I can fix most problems with world-class second rows. So, yeah, everyone needs world-class second rows.
They don't need second row. They've got Alex Moon, Dave Ribbons, Ratuni Yawara.
Who's the one you love?
Yara.
Who is the one you absolutely love out of those guys?
Dave Ribbons.
Yeah, Ribbons is good. I mean, you know, when I say, is he a top-end lock? He's a very good lock. But you know,
he'd be next cab off the rank for England, probably.
Yeah. So I'm thinking someone like a Hill or a Cruis or an Itoji or even an Atwood back in the day.
Okay.
An absolute monster. Absolute monster.
But yeah, I hear that.
Yeah. And also, you know, you look at their best players. So their best ball-carrying players, say you've got Harrison and you've got Ludlam on. Both great, but do you not think they're both combined a little bit lightweight? They're both, what, in the 6 foot to 6 foot two range? Both about 100 kilograms? You're playing both. You're playing them at the same time, and you probably have Courtney Lawes for about six games a year. So you know they do need something else.
Yeah, but I think Chris Boyd is right to point out that they've got 11 injured and 10 internationals unavailable, something like that.
Yeah.
To the extent, as I say, that they had five props on the bench.
Yeah. Well. Oh, the sale result was disappointing. The 26-55 hammering they got at home by Leicester would be worrying one.
Yes, I would 100% agree with that. What haven't we touched on so far?
We've not done. No, we've done everyone. Well, well done.
It's a little bit of a whirlwind trip around the grounds. Just what a couple of things, Ben. Got in touch with us and said that Gabriel Ogre was Bath Academy before Wasps, just picking up on
I knew he went to school in that big one, what's it, Millfield. I knew he went there.
Millfield, yeah.
And I knew he knew Jonathan Joseph because he got caught breaking lockdown. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Were Gloucester the team on a bye week?
Yes, they were. By the way, shout out to Gloucester too. I think if I was going to rate my coaches for the job that they've done this year, number one would be Borthwick. Number two might well be the boy at Gloucester, whatever his name is now. Skivington. Yeah, I think he's done a great job.
Yeah, he seems to have turned it around. I was sort of had a little question mark next to him for a little bit, but his identity is coming through. Actually, Joe Johns has got in touch with us. And just pointed out that if you look at the Gloucester website on their players, their props are just listed as props, not tight head or loose head, just prop. Mm. However, Mark Atkinson, underneath the photo of Mark Atkinson, it says left centre.
Does it?
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll ask about that. Why is he a left centre?
Yeah. And on that one, actually, we got an email from Ethan John Bamfield. This was prior to the England game when he said that he was absolutely gutted that Mark Atkinson didn't get into the squad for Tonga because he calculated that that might end up being his only chance to get an England cap. And he thought the opportunity might have been robbed from him. But you needn't have worried because friend of the pod, England's Mark Atkinson is an international.
Exactly right. Hey, back to club rugby. So, it's not just Talk H that I've played for this week, Tim.
Oh, no.
So, this week, I've been living in Wales because Beardmore & Co, independent financial advisors, are based in Wales and I have a flat there. So, occasionally, if I can get away for a week and do a week in the office, I'll go down there. And in the evenings, not having kids or family about, guess what I've been doing? Playing rugby.
Playing touch?
No. God, no. I'm not insane. So on Tuesday, trained with Toc H, which is absolutely fantastic. Wednesday, trained with Colwyn Bay. Enjoyed that a lot. Nice to go back to the old club. And on Thursday, played for a team who I have lots of friends playing for, but I'd always consider my arch nemesis team when I was back in North Wales. Played for Llandudno in a friendly against Rhyl on Thursday night. Loved it.
Thursday night rugby,
mate, is absolutely phenomenal. Rhyl got a very nice new clubhouse there. Llandudno, incredibly confrontational, physical group of players. Like, really, really high-end players, very well organised. Great, you know, just good to be involved, actually. So I got 40 minutes off the bench for them, which was great fun. And then Saturday, played at Fleetwood. I am living the life, Tim.
I will admit that having played for a couple of weekends where I didn't have any work, I really did quite enjoy it. But work does get in the working on the rugby does get in the way of
yes
the actual rugby itself. It's trade offs all the way, and
it's a trade off I'd make. I would definitely make that trade off.
Yeah, no, I do have enough pinch myself moments not to not to worry too much about it. But as we look ahead to next week, it is you can dismissively say it's Premiership Cup. As you did last week, incorrectly.
Yeah, can I just tell you why we said that?
Oh, yeah.
We said that because Ultimate Rugby app didn't show the Premiership fixtures on it. That's why.
But Brian O'Driscoll has got some work to do on
his
app.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Exactly. So we made some like idiots, effectively.
Well, the BBC website didn't have the Wasps Harlequins game on their website today, so it's not just Bod, it's Auntie as well. Oh, so one of these days, and on a genuine point, and I was thinking about this weekend. We've had not just a great weekend of Premiership rugby, we've had a lot of them in recent weeks as we've been raving about, but we had a great weekend of international rugby, and still, it feels like rugby is not doing the best job to market itself. And what can it and should it do?
I have no idea. Well, they need more podcasts. like legitimately, Premiership Rugby should have its own podcast, right? Premiership TV, it's got a platform there. They've done the hard work. Why is there no content on there? Like, there's the highlights, there's the games. There's a little bit from David Flatman, which is okay. But here's the problem with the David Flatman piece. The problem is, if you only go to Ultimate Rugby, sorry, Premiership Rugby TV, if you're a proper rugby nose, like you don't go there because you're passing by. And the Flatman piece is perfect for people who are not proper rugby fans. But then it only goes on Premiership Rugby TV, which is for absolute hardcore noses. They'd be better off finding someone like Charlie Morgan or someone of that standard, and then having him explain a few technical things or matchups or something, which is going to occur during this week, or in fact, get David Flatman to do it. Sell the storylines, build some, make some content. Like the Premiership at the moment is absolutely flying. It's an incredible competition. I mean, it really is. It might be the best year of Premiership that I've seen, and the table backs me up too. The table looks absolutely brilliant. No one's really talking about it. No one even knows that they play. So, you know, that guy, Lieutenant G?
Yeah.
Lieutenant G, saying, you know, there's a guy who's managed to get Premiership Rugby on, and the lads all love it. It's an easy thing to sell.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't have answers, just pointing out issues. But if anyone does have any thoughts on anything we talked about, anything you want to chip in on the podcast, then you can contact us, contacteggchasers@gmail.com. It is a tough one, and I see this with the thought of making content a lot is it gets put through a corporate process. And I understand, I do understand why, because, you know, it's big corporate companies that are ultimately funding it, because it'll be Land Rover or Guinness or whatever who'll hand over the money to make the content in the first place. But once you do that, quite often you then just get a corporate feel, and that's not what people want.
No, do you know though, like the NFL is obviously incredibly corporate. Some of their content they put out, their podcasting content is really good. Really good.
Do, like, do you know what I caught just like 15 minutes of, 10, 15 minutes of, because it was, I'd left the telly on and it was still on a Sky Sports channel.
It's not Jets,
and there was
is it?
Just a... No, no, no. There was just this fantasy American football show on, and yeah. I was watching it thinking, this is awesome.
Yeah,
this is. I've just caught 10 minutes of a show. I'm in. The people are engaging. They're making fantasy NFL feel exciting and interesting to the point that I'm not even playing it this season,
I can follow,
and I'm engaged, and I've learnt something. But I don't feel talked down to or patronised, or that it's all going over my head. I thought this is unreal, and this is on British TV, in a sport that I'm not watching as much as I have done in years gone by. And instantly the content was done in such a way that I was like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, so making content would be a great place to start. An absolute great place to start.
Yes. We'll solve it, JB. One of these days we'll solve it.
One of these days, mate. One of these days. Right. Any more for any more?
No, is it midnight? It's midnight now. I could watch the next episode. Oh no, I can't.
Oh,
I've got to wait to watch Succession with it, because me and Kate are watching it together, so I can't watch it without her.
Well, I could tell you how Plymouth Albion did this week, but they didn't play.
No, they didn't play.
A fallow week in a lot of rugby this week. A lot of the national leagues didn't play.
One small but maybe notable thing to talk about in terms of outside of the Premiership is London Scottish look like they're going to be staying based in Richmond, but are going to be joining the Scottish rugby system.
Oh, God. I've seen this tried before. It's not going to go well, but best of luck to them.
Part of their Super Six, which is basically below Glasgow and Edinburgh.
That's right,
I mean,
yeah.
It's fantastic for Scotland to have a London base where they could farm out some of their talented...
Didn't they try this a few years ago?
There was talk of it, yeah.
They did, because the Scottish players showed up. Duncan Taylor would be one of them. But, like, they'd never actually... I don't know, something went wrong with the money. But I don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, they might have it in place, but I think it's a, potentially a lifeline for London Scottish, but given as the RFU are just taking the money away from Championship clubs. So they would depart from the English Championship and would play in a domestic competition against Scottish sides.
Oh, interesting. That is interesting. Well,
somewhere potentially, like you could imagine if they had some talented young Scottish eligible players in England, there you go, there's a team where the Scottish RFU can effectively pay Scotland players to be in their system whilst being in England.
Well, London Irish mentioned this in their press conference the other day. Like, I think they would quite like to be helping the IRFU a little bit more if the opportunity came to have players in England of Irish heritage, or indeed current Irish internationals who couldn't be housed in the current island system, if that makes sense, in Ireland, be like a fifth region. I think they're actually quite keen to do that.
Would make sense. Mm-hmm. There you go. There's one to watch as well. No, I'm done. We're contacteggchasers@gmail.com, patreon.com/eggchasers. Here for you 52 weeks of the year, every single Monday, even when it means Phil has no sleep before getting a train down to London. So if you appreciate what we do, hit subscribe, support us on Patreon, and just tell a mate. In fact, tell a mate who doesn't watch or play or rugby but might be interested, just to put the Autumn Internationals on.
Yeah, exactly. Put Premiership on. Don't waste your time with the Internationals. Jesus.
And get to your local rugby club to watch the games.
Exactly. That's more important. Do that.
Right, I'm done.
All right, mate. Bye-bye.
Nice one, Jay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.